All right, ladies, let's just have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your word, Lord. I just thank you for this book and the study that the author put together. I am so enjoying these lessons on the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for all that we're here today. We pray you be with our pastor and his family as they're away from us, that they have a wonderful day in your house, and that there are blessing to those that they're with. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we are going to start our new lesson, but I just want to kind of do a little overview just to kind of let everybody know what we've been studying. Our book is on the fruit of the Spirit. So the first few lessons of the fruit of the Spirit was like tilling the ground, getting it ready to, like you do a garden. You have to prepare a garden. You have to prepare the soil. You have to till it up. You have to get things out, the rocks and all that, before you can bear any fruit in your garden. And that's kind of what we did at the beginning of these lessons, was to get our hearts right, not only with things that we had in our lives that were wrong, but also if you didn't know the Lord, to be able to accomplish that. And so it was a very good preparatory kind of work, because all of the fruit of the Spirit we have at the time of salvation, they're attributes of the Holy Spirit that are given to us. How we use them is up to us. Because if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to grow these attributes that we have, then we're the ones that miss out on it. So if everybody could turn to Galatians chapter 5. That's where the verses are about the fruit of the Spirit. So if I can't find Galatians, fell out of my Bible. Oh, here it is. Okay. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 is the verses on the fruit of the Spirit. And those of you that know this, let's try and say it without looking. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering. Wait, sorry, I missed one. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we've gone over the first four of these, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And the Lord put them in this order for a reason. They're not in this order because it flows nice. It sounds nice. They're put in this order for a reason. Love is the most important one. Without love, the rest of them, you're not going to be able to accomplish them or to bring them to fruition without having the love of the Lord first in your heart. Because love is the root of all of them. It was a very good lesson on just how much the Lord loves us, how much we need to love each other, and get our focus off of ourselves. And all of these have to do with doing something for someone else. Love, showing love. Joy, showing joy in ourselves, but being joyful in the things that the Lord brings into our life, whether they're good or bad. Our joy can come, and people can see the joy that we have in the Lord, even though we're going through a trial, because that joy's not based on our circumstances. We found that joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is different. Joy comes from within. Mm-hmm. Happiness has to do with a circumstance that you're in. You know, something makes you happy. Where joy, I can have joy in the Lord without being happy, because I know who he is, and I have him in my heart, and he dictates the things that I do in my life. So then we went to peace, and peace kind of follows with the joy, because peace is an inward action or an inward feeling that comes out. Knowing that the Lord is yours gives you a sense of peace. Knowing that your family is saved gives you a sense of peace. Knowing that the Lord is everything that he said he is. He is faithful. He is ever present. He is always on my side. He loves me. All of these things give you a sense of peace in your heart that no matter what the circumstances is, the Lord is going to be there. I may be the one that walks away and walks on a different path. The Lord is always there. And speaking of that, I was listening to the radio the other day when I was out, and this pastor was preaching a sermon on about following the path that the Lord has and how we get off the path. And then he told this little joke about this older couple that was driving in the car, and they passed this younger couple in a car. And as they passed, they saw that the lady was sitting right next to the man. And he goes, it looks like there's two heads in one body. And as they passed and they went, and then they got in, you know, in the lane in front of them. And the wife leans over and says, remember when I used to sit so close to you before? And he goes, I haven't moved. Mm-hmm. But he made this analogy with the Lord. And it was just like, oh, it just like so stuck in my brain. It's like, I'm still here. I'm still right here for you. I'm the one that's moved on, you know, to the other side of the car. I'm the one that's walked away. But knowing that the Lord is ever present, ever there, and he's always willing to forgive me, that's how we jump into long suffering. Because who better to be an example of long suffering than our Lord? He's so long-suffering with us because we invariably are always going back and saying, here I am, Lord. It's me again. I did that again. You know, that thing we got right a while ago. Guess what? Here I am, back again. And he's like, okay, I forgive you. It's gone. He doesn't remember. We're the ones that have the problem. We're the ones that can't let go of our shortcomings, the things that are in our life that we struggle with. Yes, we ask the Lord for forgiveness, but we don't let it go. We have a harder time with that because we live in the here and now, and we don't have that capability to cast it, you know, far away. We have to deal with that, you know. But he's, knowing that he forgives me helps. It makes it a whole lot better. So now we're going into our gentleness. Gentleness basically is being kind. And like our verse, so let's just go right back or right ahead to Ephesians 4:32. That's our memory verse for this chapter, ladies. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Now, this is like when I first started teaching, I was teaching the little kids, like the 2 and 4-year-olds, like Tanya does. And the teacher that I worked with, she would make up songs for the memory verses, even if it was just part of the memory verse, so that singing it over and over again in the class, the little kids would get this memory verse. Even at like 2 years old, they were saying their memory verses, and I thought this was like the coolest idea. And she was really clever about putting them you know, to a sing-songy kind of, you know. And this verse was one of the ones that has stuck in my head. And seriously, I have a hard time reading it because I'm singing it in my head. And it's like, I don't sing very well, but it's like, I want to sing this for you so that it'll help you. Okay, now remember, this is for 2 to 4-year-olds because there's a part in there that's like really kind of funny. Okay, so it's, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do, do, doodly-do. Ephesians 4:32, and that's the part that they loved the best. And so they were like, are we going to do doodly-doo today? But it's like, I taught my kids this verse, and it's like, you know, there's some other you know, verses in the Bible that we have to song, and it's like, it's really hard to, you know, to just read them because, but I love this verse because it's so of who the Lord wants us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. When you see someone hurting, does it hurt your heart as well? Yes. That's being tender-hearted. If you can see someone crying, someone that's very sad, and you feel nothing, you need to kind of examine yourself. You know, do things affect you? Are you tender-hearted enough that you want to share the Lord with someone? That's a very good attribute to have, and it truly comes from the Lord. But the forgiving one another, that's important. If we can't forgive each other and our family, our spouses, if we can't genuinely forgive them when they ask for it, and even sometimes when they don't ask for it, because they could have said something and done something that hurt your feelings and have no clue that they did. So you can actually forgive them without them even knowing that they hurt you, because a lot of times they may not know that they did. But forgiving is God's way of saying, all's going to be okay. I will take care of that. Because when things linger and they stay inside, it's not good, because then it fosters all sorts of problems. And you think, well, you know, this and that, and it just grows, and it's like a big, you know, bush that just is growing out of control. It's like a weed. It's like a weed in your pretty flower garden that you're trying to keep your heart at, and you let these little weeds of bitterness and anger and all these things grow in your heart. They're pushing out the other ones. You know, you're not able to use them like you should because you have all these negative things that are in there. So go back to this verse. Use it over and over again. But that's what this is about, gentleness. That's another way of saying what gentleness is talking about. But as she's saying in the beginning of this chapter, when I begin to love others the way Christ loves me, that's when we understand unconditional love. And this unconditional love will change me. I will not only be able to tolerate people I couldn't handle before, but I'll also find myself being kind and gentle with them. We all have those people that they could be in our family, they could be where we work. You know, there's just somebody that rubs you the wrong way. You just can't seem to, no matter how nice and kind you are to them, they just get on your nerves. But just try to put this into practice. I'm going to be kind to them no matter what I feel. I'm still going to be kind. I'm going to speak to them in a nice way. The way we talk to others goes a long way in how kindness is perceived. We know that, give me some definitions of kindness. Anybody? What can you think? How? What does that mean to you, kindness?
Consideration.
There we go. That's a good one.
What'd you say?
What consideration? Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Is it the same with meekness?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to go over meekness. Meekness is further on in the. But kindness is a little different. Miss Carlene?
Being patient.
That's a good one. Kindness is thinking of others. It's putting them first, just like we've been learning from the beginning of our book. We need to stop looking at inward, and we need to look outward, because we're never going to be what the Lord wants us to be if we're in here all the time. If it's all about me and what I want and what I want to do and all of this, if we don't look outside of ourselves, we're not going to be beneficial to the Lord. Yes, Kathy?
Visiting them.
Visiting someone that say can't be here at church or you haven't seen in a while. Send them a card. We have a church directory. You should be able to find their address and phone number. You could call them. You could, you know, if you don't have time to say actually physically go and visit them, even a 5-minute phone call would maybe just brighten up their day, because they could be sitting there thinking, you know, no one cares about me. And the Lord impressed upon your heart to call that person. If all of a sudden someone's on your heart, do something about it. Mm-hmm. Call them, pray for them first. Call them. Send them a little card. Do something, because the Lord has put them on your heart for a reason. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's someone that, say, doesn't live, you know, right by you, you know, somebody that you've known for a long time, all of a sudden you can't stop thinking about them. There's a reason for that. The Lord's put them on your heart for a reason. So call them, send them a quick text, thinking about you, praying, hope your day's good. And you can go on about your day, but you've acknowledged the fact that, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to do that. Friend of mine that I've known them for a long time, and we used to do that after, because we were in Italy together, and we used to do that. They were in Virginia and we were in Kansas, and it's like all of a sudden the phone would just ring, and it's like I knew who it was. I just knew that it was her. And then I would call her, and she's like, oh, I was just thinking about you this morning. And there, and but we would do that all the time. It was kind of fun. So then this question too, it says, when you think of kindness and gentleness, what friend, national figure, or Bible character comes to mind? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think of Ruth in the Bible, the kindness that she had to be able to leave her own country with all...
Everything. She left everything.
Right. And the kindness that she showed Naomi, but look, as bitter as Naomi was at that time.
Exactly. But look at what came out of that. Mm-hmm. Look at the fruit that Ruth was able to produce, and the Lord gave to her because she was kind to Naomi. You know, her lineage, her children from with Boaz gave us King David. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I love that story of Ruth. How,
yeah, I do too.
But yes, that's a good example. I was racking my brain trying to find somebody other than, I'm like, I know there's more people that were kind, but it's like, why am I having such a struggle with finding, you know, picking somebody out? So, but yes, we all probably have a friend that exemplifies kindness. You know, it's like we always say, oh, I want to be, you know, as kind as she is, or, you know, but someone could be saying the same thing about you as well. You don't realize what the things that you do for other people, how they're going to impact them, what they're going to take from that. So, yes, ma'am. Are you raising your hand back there? Are you waving at me?
Well, I was just thinking about kind other people
since I've been in this church, when I thought about kindness, I thought about all the ladies here at this church. I started out with one. I started out with you, and I went, nah, nah. And then I started going, just thinking about the ladies here. And when I came here and I was sick.
Yeah.
And how they all just kind of, you know, they embraced me. Thank you. You know, I was looking for that. They all embraced me. And they made me feel so welcome.
We adopted you, didn't you know?
And the calling me and the showing up at my house and stuff. It was like, okay. So I start with Miss Katie and then I go down. And then I go to all the ladies. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so then she asks us about similarities between kindness and mercy. They go together, but I think they're different. There's a difference to them. So I put mercy is not giving someone what they deserve, and kindness is treating others well even though we don't want to. Mercy is what the Lord gives us. Mm-hmm. We don't deserve anything in our own selves. But God's love, that mercy that he gave to us when he forgave us, is beyond what we could ever hope for or ever be able to even grant to anyone else. But in showing mercy to others, when someone hurts you and you're able to forgive them, that's mercy. Because they're not getting what they deserve. I mean, everything about you wants to hurt them back or give them what, you know, right back and then some, you know. But God says, that's not how I want you to be. I'll take care of them. You forgive them so you can move on, and I will take care of them. Give it to me. I'm the one that can deal with this situation. So mercy and kindness, they go together, but they're not exactly the same. They're a little... Okay, so we got to go to Luke. We're on the next page. Okay, that can go down there. Luke chapter 6. Mark Luke 6:31. Okay, we're back. Okay, so Luke 6:31. I am the right for. Okay, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Let's go back a couple verses here. The Lord is asking from like verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So the Lord's giving us some examples here of that, you know, golden rule verse that everybody, the world likes to use, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, this is where they get that from. Just like hatred begets hatred. Kindness begets kindness. So if anger and all of these negative things are in your life, that's going to be kind of what's going to be around you. But kindness and mercy and love and joy and peace and all these ones that we've already been learning about, if those are evident in your life and you're trying to grow them and make them stronger in your life, the Lord's going to bless, and he's going to bring more of that into your life. You're going to have more kindness. Your family's going to start to change. Ladies, In our homes, we're the barometer. If we're on an even keel, if we are showing kindness, if we have an even-tempered spirit, our homes are going to feed off of that. If we're the ones that are always up and down with our emotions, our house is going to be in chaos. Because we are the emotional-driven person in our home. So if we keep our emotions, we can't, like, you know, make them stop, because that would be I don't know how to do that. So, but controlling our emotions and using the good emotions more than the bad emotions that we can portray. Showing kindness and mercy and love and peace and having joy over simple things and being content with what you have and all of these things are a blessing to our household. And little by little, you're going to see that the attitude of your children, the attitude of your husband, things are better. If there's a peaceful, because he's out, I mean, most of us have a job, we're out in the world just as much as our husband is. But at a time, there was a time when I was at home with my kids. And so it's like all the things that were going on out there in the world were kind of, I knew about them, and, you know, it's like, I wasn't oblivious to what was going on, but I didn't have to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. I was in my house, and it was me and the kids in school and, you know, and all of these kinds of things. But then my husband would come home with all of this world dumped on him and the military and everything else. And if our house, though, there was a calmness, if there was, you know, the kids weren't screaming at each other and all these things were, I tried to, you know, we were done with school and things were, and we tried to have, you know, a peaceful atmosphere in the house, then Dad could come home and he could go, and he could relax, and he wasn't, you know, don't bombard them with, they did this and this and this and this, and you have to deal with them when they get home. You know, it's like, don't bombard him when he first comes in the door. You know, give him a little, let him come in and, you know, unwind, you know, change his clothes, have a, you know, a glass of water, something, just let him relax play with his children. Don't throw, they did, you know, 47 things wrong today. And now, yes, they did, but you know, it's like, you were the one that was there. You should have taken care of it. Don't leave it all for wait till your father gets home kind of situation. Because you are as much a disciplinarian as your husband is. Don't leave it all for him to do, you know. So keep that in mind, that you are kind of the barometer. You kind of set the tone in your house on emotional level. Because our men have emotions. They just don't display them as well as we do. Ours are all out there for everyone to see. Okay, so she had this little illustration about glasses, like fine crystal glasses. Mm-hmm. You're going to treat those things, especially if they're heirlooms, like they've been passed down and passed down. You are going to pack them away. You're going to wrap them up in so much. You're going to be so gentle and caring with those and put them away. And it's the same way with us. The way we would handle this carton of exquisite glasses, that for a person, think about it, their emotional state, their fragileness, especially if it's someone that's hurting and you want them to come to the Lord, where you know that they're going to get their things forgiven and treat them like fine china. Be overly kind with them. Love them to the Lord, especially if they're a kind of a negative type of person. Yes, ma'am.
I just had this cute story, but it deals with that. I had some very fine Waterford crystal that was handed down, and I had them on a shelf that was fairly high. And we ended up getting custody of my stepson, who was 8 at the time, and I was taking a bath, and he was bouncing the basketball in the house. And I said, no bouncing the basketball in the house. And then the next thing I hear this, bam, bing, bing, bing.
Oh.
And I'm sitting in the tub, and I said, okay, Lord, help me. And I said to him, why don't you go outside, play for a little while, and then come back in?
You know, sometimes you have to do that. It's like, okay, everybody, neutral corners, mm-hmm. You know.
But then I was able to give him love.
Yeah, exactly. Things happen. Children are children, and, you know, they don't understand consequences. You know, they don't understand that if I bounce this ball, it's going to make that shelf vibrate, and those glasses are going to fall down. No, I'm having fun bouncing the ball. It sounds cool. That's all he's thinking about. But mercy, gentleness, kindness are all exhibited here. So what else is involved in kindness? According to our memory verse, tender-hearted. That's thinking good thoughts. And then it says, and forgiving one another. Because that's the way the Lord is with us. He's tender-hearted to us. He's forgiving of us. He's always loving us. And if we keep that picture in our head, then it's going to be easier for us to be able to be kind. And remember that everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Just think about it that way. You may think you're in over your head with stuff. But if you only listen to someone else, all of a sudden it's like, wow, what I had made up to be this big mountain is like this big compared to what her mountain is over here. And so we all can do that. I mean, we all think that, you know, our crisis or whatever we're going through is like the worst thing ever and nobody will understand or anything else. But we tend to draw inward when that happens instead of sharing and releasing some of that burden and letting others in enough to see you are having a struggle with something. We tend to close ranks and, you know, we like, but if I share that with them, they're going to think this, or, you know, they're going to treat me differently, or, you know, whatever Satan throws at us that is the problem, when we know that it's not going to be like that. But emotionally, at that moment, that's what we're thinking. I can't share this with someone else because they're going to think less of me. Or they're not going to think I'm spiritual because I'm having this struggle. Mm-hmm. We're all having struggles. We all have them. You could put 2 feet, the hands, everything up. Yes, we're all having a struggle. So share with someone that you're close to. You know, even if it's to the point of, will you pray for me? You know, it's like, I'm having a hard time with such and such. You don't even have to get into a lot of detail. If you just say, wow, I could really use some prayer right now. That goes a long way because and if someone comes to you about that, don't just say, okay, I will. Pray with them.
Right then.
Stop what you're doing. And Lord, please help her with this problem that she's going through. You know what it is. So help her. You know, and I think one of our downfalls is that some people are better at it than others of sharing and. But then you can take that too far, I think, sometimes, where every time somebody asks you how you are, you share a problem.
Yeah, they don't want to ask you.
You know, it's like, oh, really? It's like, you almost like, okay, I don't want to talk to this person because she's going to tell me something bad. It's like, again? He's like, yeah. Yes, Leah.
On Tuesday, at my work, someone from my hometown, from my country,
mm-hmm.
and she's crying in a car. And she called me and she said, she called me Ati. And she said, Ati Leah, can I talk to you? I said, okay. Yeah, I can talk to you. And then she was crying. I said, what's going on? Why are you crying? And she said, my husband, he threw me out from the house because
Uh-oh.
He had somebody. And I was, I bring her to the corner. And I was talking to her. And because what my, I had a, I had the experience of what her husband and I tell and I pray for her, and I say to her to go to a person that can help her to go in the base.
Oh right.
Yeah, and then I call someone that she can go with her, and they went down there and they help her to take care of the situation.
Right.
And I was praying for her right there because I feel so bad. I feel
Worried and
about her.
Exactly. And you're going to have situations where someone may come to you and share something with you and you've experienced the same thing. So who better to pray with them or to, you know, and the Lord works those things out. You know, but then there's sometimes when someone comes to you and they have a difficulty or a problem, you don't have a clue what to do, what even to say. At that moment, just pray, Lord, help them, bring them to someone. And if you know someone or you know another lady in the church that's experienced the same thing because they've shared it with you, however it works, we've shared things, you know, it's like, oh, they've gone through this. Maybe I'll have her talk to, you know, because not everything, we've all gone through the same situations. So sometimes you have an answer from experience and sometimes you have to just get some help from someone else. And it may be you may have to take her to the pastor and his wife and say, I don't know how else to help her, but she's having a difficulty. And, you know, they may be able to direct them to, pastor is aware of a lot of things more than we are. So let's just stop right here at question 6. And I do believe that it's not next Sunday that the mission conference starts. I think it's the Sunday after that. So I think we have one more Sunday school class. Yeah, because the missions conference starts next week, but on the Wednesday. So then the Sunday would be the 15th. So the 8th. We will be having regular class. But the 15th will be all in here with Brother Baldwin for class. So we'll miss a class on the 15th. And then Sunday school will resume again for the next 2 Sundays. Because we have 5 Sundays in November. Okay? So
this coming Sunday...
This coming Sunday we'll have we'll have Sunday school. But the following week, in 2 weeks, we'll have missions conference, so we'll be in here, and then we'll go back for 2 Sundays, and we'll be back on a regular schedule. And then December, pastor told me that the 27th we will have 1 service, so that Sunday after Christmas, because Christmas is on a Friday, so the Sunday after we'll have 1 service like we normally do for holidays and stuff, so we won't have Sunday school. But we'll have Sunday school for 3 weeks in December. So, and then I know, well, actually, it's 2 Sundays in a row that we will have 1 service. So it's the 27th, and then it'll be that the 3rd will be 1 service. So those 2 weeks in a row, we'll only have one service. And then we don't have anything for, no holidays, no, nothing. It's only this much, just a couple of months.
I request her, her name is Norma.
Norma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and please pray for her salvation.
Okay.
And pray for her that her husband, God give her wisdom.
Right.
To work this thing out. And that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Norma, okay.